last week on Jack Unmasked.
He was nicknamed Terrible Ted.
I scored my last goal, and he said, it was on you. How many do you want signed? He said, well, I want 30 pictures signed. Would you do it? And I said, well, I would, but I want 10 of them. And the guy says, no, Ted's got the copyright to this picture. And time went on, another year passed, and he calls back this time. And he says, okay, I'll do that. Anyway, that's why I tell everybody I'm in the Hall of Fame now, because Ted Lindsay's got my picture with him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Delisle. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. All right, well, we got Jack here back in the studio. Jack, how have you been enjoying your first full week of supposed to be spring, but it still feels like winter here?
Yeah, it's pretty chilly out. Even today, you feel that cold breeze, but there's a couple cool days coming for sure. So I guess winter's not over yet.
So last week, we talked about Terrible Ted Lindsay and your experience with him both on and off the ice. This week, we want to talk about Gordie Howe and your experiences with Gordie throughout all the years. And I won't say what necessarily happens, but the most interesting sort of punchline of the whole story comes at the end, I will say. Let's chat about what your experiences was with the gentleman, the man, Gordie Howe.
Well, you know, when you played against Gordie, you always knew he's on the ice because, I mean, you see that big right winger. I mean, he's 210 pounds or something. Solid muscle. I mean, he was phenomenal man. And I remember playing against him and, you know, you're always keeping an eye out for Gordie because you never knew if he's going to come in and run over you or spear you or just do something bad to upset. But he never did. I always had good remembrances of Gordie when he was there. It's just a phenomenal athlete.
So, yeah, so when you were playing against Gordie Howe, what did you find like when the puck would go in the corner, for example? What was he like?
Well, you know, when he went into the corner, if he had a grudge against somebody, he'd come out on top every time because he had elbows that were flying, and he when he went into the corner, he had that stick on the ice, but that left elbow was up in your face. He would get you. I mean, he'd come out with a sore face. Or, you know, Gordie, he was a pretty aggressive hockey player. He played the game hard.
So was he that much stronger than everybody else?
Oh, yeah. I remember that fight he had with Lou Fontanetto, and Louie was a tough guy of the whole league. I mean, he'd fight anybody.
Who was Lou with?
I think the New York Rangers at the time.
Okay.
And so Gordie got into a fight with Louie there one night, and I remember seeing a picture in Gordie's book where Gordie was back with his right arm cocked and his left arm out straight, and he was going to throw one at Louie. I didn't see any of the fight. It wasn't like TV today where you see everything. But I remember seeing a picture of Louie next day in the paper, and his nose was all bandaged up and scars and everything else. And Louis said he won the fight, so I figured, oh, I don't think he won that one. I think he came in second.
Yeah, well, he can tell that story now about fighting Gordie Howe. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
And then I played against Gordie. He'd come into our building, and you know what? You just knew Gordie was there, just with the atmosphere of Gordie Howe's with the team tonight. That's who's here. And you'd always be looking for him, and I really respected him for what he was. I mean, he was a nice guy to me. He was always a gentleman. Whenever you would freeze the puck or something, you would never get a whack over the hands or nothing like that. And so, you know, he was quite an athlete. Just he played his part really well.
And so when you moved to the WHA, Gordie Howe actually joined the WHA as well. How come he joined the WHA, and what was your experiences there?
Well, he did because of his two boys, Mark and Marty. And Mark was a defenseman. Marty's a defense also, but Mark was the offensive defenseman. They just played in, and I remember Gordie got a hat trick of me one night. That's probably the year he won the scoring championship or whatever. And he got a hat trick this one night, and you know, he never got pushed when he was in front of my net. Nobody would hit him from the back or give him a cross check or nothing like that, because they knew the battle was just starting and they didn't want to have to answer to Mr. Hockey.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Even at age 46, when Gordie Howe was in the WHA, he actually won the most valuable player in the league that year.
Well, you know, I can see that because he had a lot of respect just being there. I mean, there again, you go into the game and you just look for, there's Mark and Marty and Gordie. And Mark and Marty, they were just normal guys. But when you seen Gordie, your eyes popped open, and he wasn't a young, he was 40-some years old, like, he had gray hair and all that, so like it wasn't easy for him to do that.
Do you think anybody went after Mark or Marty?
Well, I'll tell you, if they did, fight was just starting, because Gordie would get you. I remember Jim Harrison one night, he was playing for Edmonton in the WHA, and he went into the corner and he gave a stick to Mark or Marty. I forget who was in, I think probably Mark and Harrison, and I could see Gordie, you could just see his eyes just peeled on Jim Harrison. Jim Harrison was a tough kid. So anyway, he went into the corner and he gave Harrison a shot and an elbow in the mouth. And old Harrison come out of there just saying, "Holy gee, what happened? Who was that? Was I hit by a truck or what?"
Yeah, that's
and that's
exactly
how Gordie
right.
did it. Was just so aggressive when everything he did. And he had a memory like, you know, his memory was really short. If he didn't get you within 5 minutes, he would wait. I mean, it's not that he didn't remember. But if he didn't have a chance to get you back that night, he would do it the next game. He just respected the man. But I can remember an all-star game in St. Paul, Minnesota.
In the WHA.
In the WHA.
Yeah.
And Gordie was on our team, and we're staying at the same hotel, and we're walking down to the St. Paul rink, brand new rink. And we're walking down, and anyway, his wife met him in the lobby, and our wives were there, but they didn't come with us. They came a bit later. But his wife walked down with him, and so here she is dressed in a big white mink. At the time, they were pretty popular. And she had a white mink on, and you seen old Gordie, he had a toque and a trench coat on, an old raincoat. What a difference from beauty to an old hockey player.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
But Gordie was, he fit the role well, and he walked with us, and we walked with her, and walked down to the rink, and get there, and he, the whole time, he's walking around that dressing room, like, walking across the floor, putting his sock on, talking, laughing about it. He was so relaxed, just having a great time. And of course, I think we won that game, but I can't remember. But it was really just a real thrill to have played with Gordie in an all-star game.
In my office here, I actually have a Gordie Howe jersey that we got him to sign when he came to Dakota Dunes the one time there. And so of all the jerseys that I've signed, he's the one in the office, because at the end of the day, like, Gordie Howe, well, he's from Saskatchewan, but he's the man.
Well, you know, everybody says to me, who do I think is the best hockey player I've ever played against? And I've referred to Bobby Orr lots of times, but, you know, I got to put him and Gordie Howe on the same bracket, because Bobby Orr is a different kind of guy than Gordie Howe was. But Gordie was, he was a complete man. Like, he loved kids, and he'd always play hockey with you on the street or trip you or whatever, but use that stick and just, you know, monkeying around with the kids, and they would be so thrilled playing hockey with Gordie Howe, and Gordie just loved it. Just got a real thrill out of that.
I think for the picture beside the podcast there, we'll take a picture of the actual WHA jersey, for the All-Star Game jersey, which I've got in my basement here. I'll take a picture of that and put that up there so people can kind of see it, because it's actually a pretty nice looking jersey.
It was the nicest one of all. We played in Quebec the year before. But that St. Paul one was, they were white, and they had a lot of stars on it and numbers and name and everything. Well, the other one was more of a plain Jane jersey, so it wasn't as attractive as this one. But this one was, and I'm surprised we got to keep those. I thought we would have had to give them back or sell them or something. Like, that's what they usually do at an all-star game. They can get good money for those jerseys. And
yep.
But we were able to. I threw mine in my bag and took it anyway, so
yeah.
I don't know who else did.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting to see if other guys kept it, because it's a pretty neat looking jersey, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it was just a thrill to have played with Gordie in that game, and he had so much fun. And, you know, as time went on, when he kind of retired from the game, and he come back to Saskatoon there one time. And I had a little episode with Gordie where we had a game in Saskatoon. I don't know if I should mention that now or not.
First of all, let's mention about when Gordie was getting older.
Yeah.
And so when Gordy was coming to Saskatoon, he was actually, well, it was his last, probably in his last 5 years of life, right?
Yeah.
And Gordy was starting to get, you know, older and weaker, and his memory was starting to fade and stuff like that. But you had seen him a few times back then too, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it was really good. I saw him one time, and I went into Saskatoon. He's come to Sask Place because he dropped the puck for the game that night. And he had an autograph guy with him. He wasn't supposed to sign autographs unless he got paid for them. Was hoping to get the stick autographed by Gordy. And I remember going up to Gordy at the back door of the Sask Place inside. And he said, I really can't do that unless you get permission from Fred or whatever his name was to do it. Because he was his autograph guy that got all his things lined up. But he did say to me, the other guy said to me, if you want an autograph, come on by the hotel in the morning and maybe we'll do it. Well, I was 40 miles away and I wasn't going to do something like that. So I said, no, not going to do that. But you know what? Gordy hardly knew me that night when I saw him. He kind of recognized me as an old friend from back in those days. Like, I never forget a face, but Gordy, he was losing it. And he kind of just recognized me. But then I seen him again at that Dakota Dunes Gordie Howe thing. And Gordy was fading there. He really didn't know me at that. And his son Marty was with him at that function.
Yeah, Marty was really taking care of him back then, you could tell.
Gordy couldn't come alone. He just impossible because he'd get lost. He had a lot of nice stuff there. I got a nice big book, a Gordie Howe book. And if anybody's got that book, look into it, because I'm in, I don't know what page it is, but my whole body's in there, but it's cut off at the top, at my neck.
Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Oh.
So it's pretty hard to pick me up in there, but
yeah.
Gordy had quite a book. And all the articles are in about how many goals he scored on me and everything else. So if you ever get a chance to read that book, I'd suggest you do it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good book.
As much as Gordy was sort of struggling that time, he did get up and still do a speech at Dakota Dunes there a little bit, and he was still pretty good.
Oh, he's funny. Like,
yeah.
He's got lines. Like, I mean, you would be just amazed to hear him talk. Like, he talks so freely and comes up with, and he's always blinking, squinting his eyes because he had that. But he'd always come up with good lines, and you'd just love to hear that from him because he was so funny.
Yes, exactly. So Gordy Howe ties into your official, or I guess unofficial, you retired in 1976, but the last time that you wore the pads. So tell us the story of how this all works together with you and Gordy Howe and the last time that you ever wore the pads.
There was a time there when I had a little trouble, had an aneurysm. When this all happened, I kind of lost my marbles too and didn't know where I was.
Well, it was a brain surgery.
Yes.
It was, yep.
And so I couldn't put my crop in that year. And so anyway, time went on. Anyway, when they're having this Gordy Howe series in Saskatoon, two games in 2 days, and Gordy was the star, we had a lot of good hockey players there, like NHL guys, like Billy Hickey and Terry Harper and Keith Magnuson, and just the oodles of Jerome Engel, and just guys like that, Billy Orban.
I'll take a picture of that and throw it up there, too.
Yeah.
You guys have a good team photo of that.
Yeah. As time went on, I didn't know if I could play. Gary had phoned me from Saskatoon on it one day and said, you know, how are you feeling? I says, well, I'm feeling pretty good, but I said, I'm not sure if I can even skate after all this happened, because I had to rebuild my whole brain. Gary said, well, how long do you think you'd take to find out? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll rent the rink up here every day for all week, and my nephew here can take shots at me, and we got fully dressed. So Brent, my nephew, he was out taking shots on me every day. So after the fifth day...
And he was a good goalie, too.
Oh, yeah. But he could shoot the puck. He could do it. So after the fifth day, I finally said to Brent one day, I said, you know, what do you think? You think I could play again? And he looked at me and he says, well, I can't score on you, so I think you're ready. I think you're ready to play. So I phoned back to Gary Peters and told him, yeah, I can play. This went on in the old Sask Place arena, in the old dressing room.
Who are you playing?
Montreal.
Yeah, the Montreal Old Pros here.
And all the guys are sitting along the one side because the bench along the whole wall. And on my side, there's a short bench where goalies are supposed to sit. So I'm sitting over there and nobody's beside me. And then I'm sitting there getting ready for the game. And this old guy comes in late, but he came in. Doesn't take long for him to dress. It's Gordy.
Oh, nice.
And guess where he sat? Mm-hmm. Right beside me.
Oh, nice.
So I sat beside him for two games.
Yeah.
And talked to him, visited with him, and we just, hashed things all around. And so anyway, the first game when we went out and we kicked Montreal 12-2 or something, just annihilated them.
Yeah.
And I played pretty good, but a little weak at a few times. So anyway, Montreal pinned our dressing room and they wanted three of our, or four of our players just to put on their team because we were too strong.
Yeah.
So we said, I'll take three guys. So we'll give you Dale Hoganson and Russ Walker and somebody else. I don't know. I can't remember who the other guy was. So we give them those three players. And so anyway, next game, next night, Barry Thompson was the rep, Molson's Canadian rep at the time. And he says, I'll have some Pepsis in the room for you guys after if you want. So he put a bunch of, our room.
You can say beer on a podcast, yeah. For sure. And there was, the rink was packed for these games.
Oh, sold out.
Oh yeah.
Big crowds. And old Lloyd Saunders was doing at the press box. That's when he was alive. So anyway, after the second game we played, and I was really hot. I was playing really good. And they were a lot stronger because of the players they took from us. And so we ended up beating them 4-2.
Yeah.
We all line up on the blue lines. Their team's their side and our team's our side. And they, in those days, they used to give, probably the same due, is give one to each team, one award for most valuable player of that game.
Yeah.
Gary Smith was the goalie for Montreal. So I'm standing there looking down the line and I'm thinking, I think Gordy's a couple of feet from me. I look at him and maybe, and looking the other way, wonder who's going to get our star here. They said Gary Smith gets it for the Montreal team. And he's for Saskatchewan. We're going to give it to Jack North.
Oh, wow.
I thought, wow, that's something. So anyway, I get a suitcase from Molson's Canadian. I still have the suitcase, still use it. And that's after 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And so I went into that dressing room, and I'm sitting beside Mr. Hockey. And I said to Gordy, is there any chance of getting your stick now after the game's all? He said, yeah, you can have it, because I don't want to carry it back to Detroit or wherever I'm going. You can have it.
Yeah.
So nice. I took his stick. So I'm sitting there looking at all these fantastic hockey players across the way, and everybody's got to retire sometime.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm never putting the pads on again.
Yeah.
Sit beside Mr. Hockey, looking at all these superstars across the way, and I thought, you know what? And then, you know what? I've never put the pads on since.
Right.
Ever. Yeah. So that's the end. That was my silent retirement.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool story. Like, if you're going to do it, you do it right.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the whole episode was miraculous. It was just a good weekend. I stayed at the Sheraton Cavalier Hotel. Just beautiful weekend, the way it all turned out. But I did play again, but I was playing defense, but I only played for a couple of years.
Yeah, I vaguely remember being at that. I had been 10 years old, and I remember the rink being packed. And I think you wore your mask, like the regular mask that you wore back in the day, right? So yeah. It was pretty cool to see and stuff. But I remember you playing great that night. So it was, because it was a good game, actually.
Yeah, it was, I've always wondered how come I can make it in pro hockey, but I was pretty quick. I mean, I must say I had good reflexes and I moved my hands quick and my legs were quick and I was pretty quick. And well, that's when I was 40 pounds lighter and in good shape. But now, it's a little different story, but in those days, when I was in my prime playing in my between 63 and 76, I was in good shape and I was ready at all times. So I think that had a lot to do with being able to play. I'm not totally sure if I'm right or not, but it was a very, very good time playing and I enjoyed playing the whole years I did.
Well, we actually have a video of you from back in the LA Blades where you got no mask on, and also a video you had made in Phoenix there as well too. And like, you were quick. Like, it was back when goaltenders were athletes, right? And to describe maybe a modern goaltender that you'd be similar to would be like a Curtis Joseph or even a Billy Ranford from the 90s, right? Because they're all about that 5'10", 5'11", and fast. Or even Martin Brodeur from, modern day. Not these big 6'4", 6'5", goaltenders that just block everything. And, even when I used to coach the junior B team here, I would always look for athletic goaltenders.
Well, it's that's for sure. I mean, because they're not just a goalie. They're part of your team back there. And, you don't want them getting hurt. You want a guy that can perform and be able to dodge checks and things like that. I've had many guys run at me, but I see them out the corner of my eye. And I was always quick enough to be able to get out of the way. And I remember that specifically from one game against the LA Sharks in the WHA. But you know what? That's just the way thing is. You got to be ready to play, and you got to be one of the boys, and you got to be sharp. And that's in some games you weren't sharp, but you know what? You tried to be sharp every night.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think at some point I'm gonna make a digital copy of those videos, because right now they're actually on VCR and 8mm video, right?
Oh yeah.
And maybe we'll be able to put those videos of you playing actually up on the website, so people could actually see them themselves.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah, they like that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that's great, Jackson. I think people will really enjoy the connection that you and Gordie Howe had there. And I think if they were in your position, they would have looked around the room and said, you know what? I'm going to retire today as well. So I think that was a pretty good choice and a really neat decision that you made at that time.
Well, I'm glad I did, because you know what? I look back to it and I thought, you know what? Just sitting, I can still remember sitting there just thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I just about died from that aneurysm, and here I am playing hockey with Mr. Hockey, sitting in the room with all these athletes. So why wouldn't you say, I'm never? And that's exactly what I did. And my daughter's got the pads now. She's got the skates. No, I've never put them on since.
There's not many people that can say my last game, I was on the team with Gordie Howe and sat beside him for a couple of days, and that was my last time I ever played. Not many people could probably say that.
No, and I agree 100%.
Yeah. So I think that was a great choice. So awesome. That was a great story there, Jackson. So next week you alluded to your aneurysm, which was roughly back in 1980. And so that happened actually while you were touring with the Montreal Old Timers, or Old Pros, I guess they're called, right?
That's right.
And I think we will get into that story next week.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sound good? Okay. Well, thanks for that story there, Jackson, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, see you then.
Okay, see you later. Okay, bye. Well, that ends episode 10 of Jack Unmasked, where Jack shares stories about Gordie Howe, about how much he respected the man, his abilities on and off the ice, and then gets to play two games with him in an exhibition game with the Saskatchewan All-Stars versus the Montreal Old Pros, where he gets to sit with Gordie for two games, looks around the room afterwards, and says, you know what? It doesn't get better than this. If you would like to be notified of the next podcast, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email, and you'll be notified of the next podcast, which comes out each Friday. With it being Easter next week, there will be, unfortunately, no podcast next week, but we will have one the week after that. Until we talk to you next time, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Played against Gordie, like he'd come into our building, and you just knew Gordie was there, just with the atmosphere of Gordie Howe's with the team tonight. Gordie got a hat trick of me one night when he was in front of my net. Nobody would give him a cross check because they knew the battle was just starting. It's Gordie. And guess where he sat? Right beside me. So I sat beside him for two games. We ended up beating them 4-2. So I'm sitting there looking at all these fantastic hockey players across the way, and I'm sitting beside Mr. Hockey, and I said, you know what? I'm never putting the pads on again.